Nation. Hello, it is time to have some fun, so with some wisdom and find everything you need to grow your company. If you love the show, if your life is fully better because you are a member of Clean Nation, make sure you show the love on iTunes with a 5-star review. If you hate the show, stop listening immediately and feel free to shoot me dozens of angry emails. We get a lot of value, spread the love, share the show, tell your friends, share us on Twitter, Facebook, subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, all that good stuff. Show the world you are a proud member of Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Jason Schmeres from A Better Choice Services. A Better Choice serves the Colorado Springs area with construction cleanup, commercial janitorial for the last 2 years. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you, brother. Tell us a little bit about how you got into the cleaning business in lovely Colorado.
Well, I got into the cleaning business here because, in Colorado, we moved here a couple of years ago. Ultimately, 15 years ago, I got into the cleaning industry, being forced into it. I mean, we're forced to, in a way, really survive, if you will. And after 9/11, I was a computer programmer. I knew my job was going to go away, so I needed to do something to feed my family. And that was, what better time with the scare of a downturn of economy than to start your own business. So I got into the cleaning industry.
So what made you pick cleaning outside of all the, it doesn't sound like that was your background if you were kind of an IT. What made you pick cleaning outside of all the other opportunities you had?
it wasn't. But I interviewed a lot of different people, a lot of different small business companies. I grew up in the small business world with, but I wanted something that I could do, excel at, more importantly, kind of have some freedom, some freedoms with my family. I thought, well, what better industry to do that than the cleaning world?
Cool. And so far, has that worked out for you?
That's a yes and no. I think the freedoms, my children are young. I'm blessed to be able to kind of come and go as I need to, but then still provide for them. So yeah, I think so.
All right, perfect. That is part of the excitement of being an entrepreneur and getting to live in the cleaning business. How can I help you today, man? What's going on in your world that I can hopefully be of some assistance?
Well, we started this company. Actually, we moved to Colorado 2 years ago. We started this company, with the intention at that time to kind of stay mom and be a small business. I mean, we're still a small business, but we were faced with this challenge that with more contracts coming on the pipeline, we need to hire more employees, and the word of mouth thing has gotten out there. So we need to create a bigger business, if you will, here. So we've the help I need is, where in the growth or developing the growth of this company, where do we legitimately start? Do we start with the administrative, the administrative side of the business, the operation side, or the sales and marketing?
Okay, so what I hear you saying is you'd like to kind of transition to the next level of your business, and you just would like help with where do you start? Finance, operations, or sales and marketing? Is that a good kind of summary of what you're looking for?
Well, yeah, administrative, to me is I think anything that's in the office, I think.
Okay. Well, Give me a little bit of a heads up of where you're at now. Well, how many employees you have?
We have 5 employees is really all we have.
Okay.
So, just hired a office manager last week, and she can do sales and marketing and some office management for us.
Okay, so you've got 5 staff, 4 of which are cleaners, 1 of which is administrative. All right, are you there?
So, yeah, not big. Yeah, so not big at all.
Okay, so you broke up. You've got 5 employees, 4 of which are cleaners, and 1 of which is an administrator?
Yes, correct.
Okay, cool. And then are your cleaners full-time, part-time?
They are as needed. I mean, lately it's been full time, and that's kind of where that growth transition. So, yeah, so they're full time. I guess to answer the question.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, unfortunately, there's no
one size fits all. It really kind of depends. If you were one of my one-on-one clients, I certainly couldn't say, we do always start with sales and marketing, right? Nothing happens until you make a sale. But once you've gotten out of that position, you've got ongoing customers, it's not really, everybody should always work on, to get to quote unquote the next level, it's administration. It really depends on where your business is at, what the low hanging fruit is in terms of I'm always looking for the biggest result with the smallest effort, right? So kind of working big to small in terms of this is the low hanging fruit. This won't take a lot of effort and we can get a lot of results. So in the next couple minutes, I'll try and walk you through and see if we can figure out where that is in your business. I really break it down into, I understand the administration part, but that kind of, I still put this, any administration having to do with sales and marketing, I put with the sales and marketing because that's a different skill set than administrative having to do with the finance, payables, receivables, keeping a good set of books and be able to generate accurate reports. That's a different skill set. And then the operations, as it comes to hiring and attracting good talent, keeping them engaged, that's a different skill set. So each of those is going to have their own administrative portions, but I don't have one kind of separate administrative branch that administrates all of those, because really the skill set it takes for sales and marketing is very different than finance, which is very different than operations. So and every business is the same. They always have those three things. You've got to sell your product or service, you've got to provide your product or service, and then you've got to make sure that you're accounting for the money. So that said, the first and foremost thing that you've got to make sure you have foundationally, and then you can kind of walk away from, is the financial accounting. So we don't need to get specific, but how do you feel kind of 1 to 10, 10 being everything's perfect, 1 being there's just a mess. How do you feel like your financial systems are today?
Is the part of the business I hate the most. I mean, this is what I'm not good at, now with that being said, is we've cleaned that up. We've had sit downs with the accountant. I feel good about that. Now, so 1 to 10, I'd probably say we're 7, so I have a better understanding of it. It's cleaned up now. Which is what we want to do to get to this point. But I hate it.
Okay. So the good news is accounting and those systems is not something you need to be good at or spend a lot of time in. Quite the opposite. You shouldn't spend much time at all. But big comma, the mistake that most folks I work with make is they want to spend no time with it, which is no bueno. So what we're looking for, the minimum standard of performance is that you were able to generate a good profit and loss statement. And when I say you, I mean your company, your accountant, in-house help, out-of-house, vendor, however you want, bookkeeper, doesn't matter if they're employee or 1099 or what that looks like, but your company has the ability to generate accurate profit and loss and balance sheet every month. As long as you've got that and they're accurate, your only job is about an hour a month to review those reports to understand where you need to go. Right? And if you and I were working together, obviously not on air, we'd go over those together, and that would really kind of raise the hand in terms of, do we need more time on the operations or more time on the sales and marketing? The good news is that is not something that's shouldn't be a constant pain. So I kind of like getting that set up first, because it's going to tell, that's going to give us the data to know, do we need more operational help or do we need more sales and marketing help? The good news is once we get it fixed and running, it kind of goes away. Sales and marketing and operations can be a constant battle. That's not something you kind of check that box and just walk away. They're gonna need your attention or a manager's attention going forward. So if we assume we've got your book straight, the first thing I do is say, hey, let's look at the profit and loss. And then I would look at, that would probably give us the information in terms of where do we need to go next. So to answer your big question of what should I do first and foremost, if you're at a 7, you're probably okay. Would you say, yes, you can get a clean, accurate profit and loss report monthly and a clean, accurate balance sheet monthly with the systems that you've got in place?
Yes, I can now, yes.
Huh? Perfect. So that box I would consider checked. The only thing you need to do going forward is once a month review those, and that's going to give you the data as to what's going to go to first. So some of the things that would be, I don't want to say red flag, but be indicative that we need new customers is slow growth. Do you have any idea of what kind of percentage of growth you've been doing monthly or quarterly or yearly for the last couple of years? Or since you've started, how fast you're growing?
Yeah, well, that's just it. So these last 6 months, we've doubled in size over the last 6 months.
Okay, good. So that would be indicative. And are those systems running? That's the other thing we don't want to do is a lot of people kind of are in this constant battle of, oh my gosh, I need customers. I'm going to spend all my time and focus on the website and marketing and this and that and everything on customers. And then guess what? You do a good job and you get more customers. You're like, oh crap, I don't have the employees. I got to run over. And then you set down everything you've been doing with the customers. You run over the employees and you start fighting with that fight. And then you finally get those employees handled. Like, oh my gosh, the customers stopped coming in. That spigot was turned off. And you run, and there's just this constant back and forth. So what we're trying to do is once you've got that financial foundation built, and it sounds like you're either very close to being there or there, you want to create systems that are working in the background all the time. So it's not that you turn on and off systems that bring in qualified, predisposed prospects that want to either do business with you or work for you. They're constantly coming in and you're just tweaking those systems. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I guess where I'm struggling is maybe the definition of administration. Or, because I look at scheduling, I look at client follow-ups.
Okay, hold on. Let's take these one by one. Scheduling is an operational piece. I get it's administrative, but it is an operational piece. You want an operational person. You don't want the same person that's handling sales to fool with scheduling your operations. The person in charge of every company you go to is going to have the CFO, the chief financial officer, the CEO, obviously chief executive officer that runs over all of them, the COO, chief operational officer, and the CMO, chief marketing officer. So those are there's never a CAO, a chief administration officer. Each of those may have administrative tasks and or people within their universe, but they still stay within their universe. So scheduling would be an operational problem. When you mentioned following up with customers, that's a sales and marketing issue. Keep going. I just didn't want to give you a list of seven. I'd forget some.
I think maybe that's been part of our struggle is really putting the right pieces in the right place too, you know? So,
If you try to make
that helps you right there.
If you try and make an accountant do sales and marketing type work, he won't be happy. She won't be happy. You won't be happy. Everyone's going to be unhappy. Say, in the reverse history, you get a good salesperson and try and make him do detailed, scheduling stuff. He's going to go crazy because that's not what he's good at. He needs to talk to other humans and be creative and kind of thrive off those relationships. Whereas operational, they just think differently. So yeah, I would definitely kind of identify that those three things are the key and you want to keep all administrative jobs within those universes in those universes. Don't try and make an administrator do all three because administration for sales and marketing is very different than operations, which is very different from finances. And each of those areas should be kind of responsible for their own thing, right? We don't want to have the operations guy going, well, the admin you gave me is no good, right? There'll always be an excuse that the admin you gave me is no good. We want to make sure that they're accountable and responsible for everything in their little universe. And the way to do that is make sure they have their own, they either do their own admin or have their own admin staff so they can't blame, well, you gave me this crappy admin. That's why I'm failing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the big overreaching kind of theme is get your finances done first so you can get good reports. Use the data from those reports to tell you where to go to next. But the key is it's not so important what you do first. It's that you have systems that are constantly working as opposed to, I'm going to go work on this and then set it down and then go work on that and set it down. You want to make sure if you choose to start with sales that you're not just generating sales, you're generating systems that create repeatable, scalable, dependable leads coming in every month. So when the operations side kind of gets on fire, you need to not pay attention to the sales side. All of those systems that you created are still bringing in prospects, right? They're just, you've got whatever advertisements you're running, whatever marketing you're doing, whatever you've got, they're still running. So you can kind of move to operations and start working on those systems. So the key is not that you do one and then the other. It's that you're creating systems that work even when you're not spending time with them. That's how you grow a real business where you've got these systems that kind of generate qualified leads, whether it be leads to work or leads to hire you. You've got these qualified leads coming in every week on the week and you just can't stop them. That really puts you in the position to grow your business.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Cool. All right. Any other questions before we hit the lightning round? I give you the opportunity to share some of your experience with Clean Nation.
No, I think it's it.
All right, let's do it. I'm going to ask you three quick questions. I have full confidence you're going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received either in the cleaning business or in life?
Oh, that's kind of a multifold thing. Really, the best advice is a quote that somebody told me. Do what you've always done, get what you've always gotten. I mean, and so I look at that both in business and personal. If something's not working, you know, why drive yourself insane? Why keep doing the same thing? So, you know, make the adaptations, you know, to make it work.
Well said. Couldn't agree more.
So,
question number two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that you can share with us so we can learn from each other?
You know, a lot of it really is not expecting what I expect. You know, as we add employees, as we grow in this business, and you know, you brought up systems, which are going to be good, and that'll help with the inspections. But you, I mean, really, the biggest mistake is probably not learning from my mistakes or my failures. You know, it's not investing into myself or into my employees, you know, education, the training, you know, there's, I talk to other cleaners, you know, they're afraid to educate or train their staff because they're afraid they're going to go into business for themselves. I mean, for me, if I'm charging a premium as I increase my prices, I want to have my staff trained. I want to have them educated. To be the best. And if they go work somewhere else or they go start their own business, then I made them a better person. But I mean, that's a big failure. I mean, in the past, if you look at what I've done in the past, if I hadn't trained somebody and they weren't, you know, they didn't do a quality job, whose fault is that? Is it their fault or is it my fault?
Yeah, the best take I've probably heard on that is someone said in response to, what if I train them and then they go work for a competitor or go try and compete with me? And the guy responded, and I wish I could take credit for this because this is exactly what I would love to say. What if you don't train them and they stay with you? Like, it's even worse.
Yeah.
You have to consider both of those options. All right, last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice that will improve their business or their lives?
You know, I think it's, I had to look at it like, you know, what do other successful people do? You know, I had to put myself into that mindset, you know, Mark Cuban, you know, Donald Trump. I mean, doesn't matter, you know, successful people in business, doesn't matter. I mean, they're not just cleaners, they're successful. What do they do? So that sets them apart. And so as I looked at that, it was, you know, I need to get up an hour earlier, need to organize my day, maybe read, educate myself. And when I did that, I felt less rushed. I felt less pressure. You know, I'm not at their level. I'm not at their caliber yet. But I mean, that's the biggest value of setting myself up.
Okay, great.
Be successful, I think.
Love that feedback. All right, Jason, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know the Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Jason's show notes page and find a bunch of tools, everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.